possible. It's possible.
Nah, screw that.
Sorry.
Right there.
Let's give the Lord a great big hand for those guys. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful thing to be able to see just the knowledge and the grace that God has given us to a point of really knowing Him in this hour. And this is a very special time that we're living. And it's good to see you back, Mary Lou. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Mary Lou. She was on a 3-day journey or a 4-day journey. I forget what it was. But, you know, oh, awesome. John, come on up here real quick. I just want John to share this testimony. He's been sharing with me on a private note. And I said, John, you got to get up there and just share, you know. And he's always a latecomer, but we'll get him up here. And get... But he comes all the way from Limburg, cheese. No, Limerick.
Actually, Royersford now.
Limerick.
Limerick, PA.
20 minutes above King of Prussia. Everybody knows the biggest mall, like in the country, or not? Yeah, maybe it's got traffic lights in there.
King of Prussia. I mean, you know what I like about this place? People from all over just show up. You know, you got them from Delaware, you got them from Limburg, PA, you got them from who else?
Limburg.
Yeah. So they're scattered throughout, and you know it's a beautiful thing when you come from that way distance. Huh. You know there's got to be something, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be something.
Patience and tolerance, you know.
So I'm going to pass the mic over to John. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for this brother.
I truly, I think it's 59 miles, I think I clocked at one time. And, you know, when I came into this ministry, it was actually like 18 years ago. I looked up. It was right when the Constitution Center opened. It opened in September or something like that, or June, July. July, it was actually July 4th. I think it was that October after that I actually came here for the first time. So it was like 17, 18 years ago, somewhere around there. And it's going pretty quick. But, you know, for me to drive 59 miles, it wasn't really me. You know, I came in and I thought, like, I'm just this great guy that just needs a little direction, a little clarification or whatever. You know, for whatever Pastor Kurt kind of talked to me about back in, we actually met up. We were both electricians on a job. And he just, whatever he said, I couldn't get that thought out of my mind. Like, I got to check this out. I got to check this out. He's saying, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Pastor had a spiritual experience, you know, all this. And I believed in spiritual experiences at that time because at that time I was probably about 6 or 7 years sober in AA and stuff. And one of the co-founders of AA had a spiritual experience. He was he said he was an atheist and he had a spiritual experience. So I already had the belief that it's possible. You know, I really never had a clue what was possible and what was going to be coming, you know, for me to even have a relationship with God. Growing up Catholic and stuff, I guess I didn't really, there was always a middleman. You had to go to the priest in order to get a kind of connection with God. You know, I just thought you had to be a good person, stuff like that, you know, and things would come your way. Yeah, that's part of it. You know, I tell people all the time, like, about the conviction that's on your heart. And I break it down pretty simple because I'm simple. I say, you know, if you're going out and kicking your neighbor's puppy every morning, you know, when he goes back in the house and he lets him out, and you're over there kicking him every morning, but and it really doesn't bother you, but you get to a point where you're like, man, maybe I should stop this. You know, it's only a small dog. I'm probably hurting him. But if you have a conviction, I don't care what it is, and you don't follow it, I truly believe that you have opened up a door for, you know, repercussions. And I've learned so much over here, and it, believe me, at times I'm like, they're out of their minds. You know, open up doors for repercussion and this and that, and, you know, if you don't, whatever, file a conviction to your heart. And I really feel like at this point I am just almost totally blank of everything. And it's, I guess I finally step back and I'm letting God go before me. And it don't even make sense. I'm not trying to even understand it, which is awesome. You know, Pastor Sam was just talking about it, you know, and sitting back. And I love when he said, like, on a boat. I love boats, you know, but and just letting, you know, just looking around, you know, going up the coast and looking. And I never was able to do that my whole life. And, you know, I've been a union electrician for 30 years, and for some reason, the last, whatever, 10, 12 or so, I've just been having a really rough time being there. And I just, I know there was judgments or whatever opened up on me, the depression. I would get on a job, and I would be attacked by depression. And I'd be like, what? You have a job. It's going to be this, you know, a long-term job. This, and I was just attacked constantly. And, 12 or 15 years ago, it was spoke over my life that I'm supposed to own my own business with construction and stuff like that. And, you know, my past indiscretions? Is that what you said? No. Open the dictionary up. My past track record. You know, I even worked for a couple people in here, and, you know, I have to apologize to Mary Lou and the Franklins because I actually started jobs and didn't finish. And, yeah, do I get into the, it was the depression, stuff like that. I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart for never finishing. And, I don't know. All I can say is God truly has a plan for my life. And you know what he showed me last week? That it's not all about me getting this business. Pastor said, I see trucks with your name on. I don't care. You know what he showed me last week? He said, you're holding up other people's blessings by not trusting and following the conviction on your heart. And I thought, you know what? I mean, there's such an opportunity for me with going into complete home improvement and stuff beyond my comprehension. The other day, a gentleman I used to be an electrician with in 98, actually he went into SEPTA, blah, blah, blah. I've known this man for 20 years, and actually I handed him 4 prayer cloths yesterday for him, his wife, his ex-wife, whatever, and his 2 boys. He has 2 teenage boys that suffer with autism, and he's like, they're really rough. He's talking about, I called him, we got in touch with each other on Facebook somehow. It was his birthday, blah, 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 and I went down and looked at this house that his wife bought. Well, it was like a shell. It was the plaster ceilings are falling down, everything. And he's like, they're getting kicked out of a place that they need a place. He said, if we come up and just do 1 bedroom at a time, you know, and God showed me again, like, see, it's not about you. He said, I'm going to put people in your life that need you, that you're not going to rip off. And you're going to do a good day's work for this guy because he has a family that needs a place to live. And, I mean, that's just the start of it. I mean, I really don't care how big the business gets. You know, I know that through this, I handed him 4 prayer cloths yesterday, and he said, you know what? I already know what they are. because you gave me two 20 years ago. Whew. For me to meet with people like this that maybe have children that have dependency problems, alcohol, drugs, whatever, I just was blessed by God with 25 years of not touching a substance. And I can use that. And I believe that he's going to put me in people's past that I can minister to, whether it's drugs or alcohol, whether it's, you know, the truth I know about God, whether they kick me out of their house or not and don't want to listen to me, it's okay. I don't know what he has in store. But I'm tired of being ruled by fear and worry and anxiety, depression, because I'm not following the conviction of my heart. I have had so much peace over the last month, and it was something that was spoken 12, 15 years ago. You know, and I'm not complaining, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. I had a lot of learning to do, and I still have a lot more to do. But I know because I drive 59 miles, it's because God was like, you need to learn patience and tolerance. But I thought I was a great guy. I'm one of the best guys you'll ever meet. Just ask me. Yeah. But I think that's part of it. It's not like that, it's a badge of courage. I should get a plaque that I drive 59 miles. But I want people to know that this place is that special that I have five churches within like 4 minutes of me where I'm at. I ain't going there. The reason why I drive 59, but people go, why you drive all the way down there? I said, because it's like no other place that I've ever experienced in my life. And I said, whether you believe this man had a spiritual experience or not, it's on you. I know. I've seen things, and he's told me things. The first day I met him, that I had a fall when I was real young, and it was when I was 4 years old and fell off a balcony. I was 38 years old when he told me that. So, if you really want to know, spend one Sunday and drive from wherever you are and see what God has in store for you. Amen?
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
You're not going anywhere.
I love this, man. I love him very deeply. You know, it's funny. The world might not love him, but I'm not of the world. And I love him. You know, we have been really sharing, and I know our listeners are intrigued about what is being said right now. We have thousands online that are just wanting to know what more is there to come. And every time we have a series going on, it seems like God takes us to the very back end of the deep part of the message and then brings us all the way to the beginning at the end. It's the opposite way of the spiritual realm, how God works. And today, I want to just share to all of us here today and those that are listening, the purpose of where we're going is the path that we're on. Everyone, from the time that God begins to start knocking on your door, and I will say, he knocks at different ages and different times. In my life, it happened to be at age 16. In others, it might be in their 20s or their 30s or their 40s. But you feel this knock on your heart. And that knock is the pursuit of happiness and peace. That's the leading of the path of God in your life. And you begin to start seeking this path, which we call the kingdom of God. It's of righteousness, peace, and joy. But because of the knowledge, because of the grace that we have in our lives, we don't really quite understand what this journey is. But God has been taking us on a journey ever since we were young, and we just didn't know it. This place here is to clarify what these feelings are and what we're feeling, and to say you're feeling it correctly. You're understanding correctly, because the life is inside of you that is leading your path. And I'll clarify it as we get going. At a young age, when you're a child, you're really just having fun. You just want to have fun. You want to play. You just want to play. And there's a time where, you know, adults want to encourage children to play. Go out and play. How many have told your children that? Just go out and play. You want to encourage them to play. You don't want to really encourage them into anything other than play. Don't you have something to play? Don't you have some games to play or whatever? And it's our nature, and God has always been leading us and guiding us down a path, and the path is of righteousness, peace, and joy. This path has been, he's been there since I can remember. It started in my life at age 16. And I'm going to tell you when you begin to start getting this little epiphany. When you begin to realize there's something more. It's a knock. When at age 16, I knew there was something more. I said, I got to get out of here. It's not my happiness. It's not my road of happiness. It's not my road of peace. It's not my road of joy. I got to go. I got to move on. I got to venture into the big world. I got to find myself. How many have ever felt that way? I got to just find it. In our early adolescence, and I guess that's the right word, adolescence, we pursue marriage. And I find it really interesting how we all search for that married life. How many of us here have searched the marriage life? Right? It's the path of pursuing happiness, but in a carnal, knowledgeable way. God, when we truly come to the fulfillment of life, if I ever want to say anything to you and how to judge eternal life in your life, you will know the end to where you reach the beginning. The end is when you realize that you're the bride to the groom. And the bride is you, whether male or female, doesn't matter. But the groom is the love of God. Now, I gave you the end of the path that pursues righteousness, joy, and peace. Because if you think about it, God is the fulfillment of all that in you. But in our beginning of our journey, we are carnally minded and we're not spiritual people. Even though we're led by a spiritual impression of pursuing this love, this path, this eternal path. And through this journey, we try to fulfill ourselves with the righteousness, the peace, and the joy, not having the knowledge of the grace of God, not realizing what it is. So we pursue it in people. For number one, we get our spouses, we find our love of our life and try to fulfill that place of our path. And then in the midst of that path, you continue to reach these levels. All of a sudden, another knock on your door. Honey, maybe we should think about, instead of renting, let's own. I feel much more happier if we go in this direction. How many have ever felt that way before? Where it's like pursuing something better all the time in your life. Looking for that better fulfillment of joy and peace. Never coming to a place of contentment. Never really coming to that place to feel fulfilled and satisfied. So God has always been leading and guiding us through this peace journey path, this path journey, I call it. He never wanted to lead us down to destruction, because I guarantee none of us said, I want to be led down to a miserable path. Has anyone ever felt that in their heart? I would have to answer and say no. But your path was always to be filled with something good. Always. So that's how you know God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's how you know that God was actually in our lives. What we were lacking was knowledge. We just weren't, we didn't have the grace of understanding what was actually guiding us. We were taking it in a carnal measure that we needed more happiness. And we were getting our happiness through, let's have children now. Maybe we'll pursue more happiness having children. Let's pursue more happiness by having a vacation, or we'll have investments and try to create income and make more money and things of that nature. How many people are following me on this one? And they call this life. They call this life. And they ask themselves, so what have you achieved in your life? You look back and say, well, I have achieved these great things. I have achieved the family. I've achieved the wife. I've achieved the boats, the toys, the car. At the end, when you accumulate all that through the carnal mind, have you ever reached the end of that path? What's next? Now, what if your capacity or your capability or your financial ability maxed itself out, and there's no more that you can reach to pursue happiness? What happens? Begins to get cold, doesn't it? All of a sudden, there's nothing more there. There's nothing, nothing. So what happens? You try to entertain yourself more. You try to fulfill, you keep trying to fulfill this path. In the meantime, you have everything. You extended yourself. You took so many vacations, you start to realize one is the exact same thing as the other one. And you become bored with life. And you reached your point in the carnal level of life. And now you're frustrated. God wants to take us on a journey with Him. And this journey in pursuing the grace of God is probably the greatest gift any of us can receive, because it takes the burdens off of your shoulders from carrying everything that you accumulated for that happiness and peace. The enemy isn't in your heart. He's outside of your heart. And how he works is he over heavy and burdens you. This is why Jesus' message was, cast all your burdens upon him. It's like, get rid of all of it. Just cast it all away. Let me carry them. When we come to this place, this spiritual knowledge, you can have everything in the whole world, but there's still going to be another knock. Has anyone ever obtained so much that you're still sick and tired of being sick and tired? To where you're just like, done. Stick a fork in, done. There's got to be something more. I'm going to share with you a way to pursue the kingdom of God and be able to reach that place. Because I feel that our listeners and maybe even some of us here have been trying to pursue the kingdom of God, but never really were able to achieve it. You can be good all you want. You can do all the right things all you want. You can even follow the convictions of your heart. Fear is always going to be knocking there. If you don't have the knowledge of the grace, you're never going to achieve it. I want to encourage us today. Develop a punch list. All the things that you want to achieve. What are you really searching for? Be as honest as possible. Look at yourself and be true to yourself and look at this punch list and begin to climb the mountain. And every step is an achievement on your punch list, or you'll never be able to pursue the kingdom of God. This is where you get tossed to and fro from every so-called wind of doctrine, because we're wandering around off the path, on the path, off the path, on the path. That's called being lost. And we're never, ever getting to the altar where we stand with the bride and as a bride, and we stand with the groom, and we actually get that inner from the very beginning where we pursued our path, trying to find that significant other inside of us. Just look around. How many people are following what I'm saying here? In the beginning, God says it's not good for a man to be alone, and that's why he created woman, right? In the beginning, that's the beginning of our journey. But the woman that he was talking about was really the bride of Christ, to where he's your all in all. He fulfills every aspect of your life, and there is no need for anything else. And through that journey, what is the main engine, the main fuel of your engine? It's joy. It's happiness. All we want is happiness. All we want is joy. But we're finding it in all the wrong places. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. We just don't have the knowledge of true happiness. We turn to these carnal, superficial things, and we put our hope in it, and then guess what? We get discouraged. How many of us have been disappointed in investments? Whether it was investment in a person or an investment in a property that ended up falling apart, or an investment in a career and you ended up realizing that you didn't like the career. I heard the testimony of John saying how he was, you know, a certain individual in a trade and he ended up hating the trade. God has something special for us, and if we can pursue this spiritual journey, it'll answer all the questions that are inside of us. This is why we preach the gospel, to put you on the right journey, the right path that is already inside of you, knocking at your door. You know, Jesus said a comment. He says, if you see me, you see the Father. There was a part of love that was coming out of him that was true and real and I guess sentimental, meaningful. Has anyone ever been with someone that just you were like so entrenched with because the conversation was stimulant? You weren't shallow in your conversations. It was a deep conversation. It like took your breath away. How many people have ever been in those types of conversations with another individual? This is what God desires for us. He wants that relationship. It's through meditation. You know, you meditate on him day and night. There's that conversation that interacts, and he fills you up with more grace. And as you get filled up with more grace, it's almost like answering all the questions that we've been searching for all of our life. And achieving that possibility of entering into the kingdom of God. See, there's one thing to know your path. Well, I know I got to go here. But to know to achieve it is different, isn't it? And how many of us really want to reach the kingdom of God? How many of us really want to achieve that special place that's inside of us that fulfills our all? where our fulfillment is, where we can sit in a chair and don't have to go anywhere and be at peace and be content. Not running around all over the place trying to entertain ourselves, but being at peace right where we sit. This is the goal. This is the goal, to pursue happiness. We try to find rest, saying, well, if I go down here for the weekend, you know, and then I just run away from work, I'll find my rest. And then I'll rest for 3 days, and then I'll come back and I'll feel rejuvenated. Has anyone ever done that before? Vacations. Okay, has anyone ever went on a vacation and found out that it was more work getting everything in the car, making sure you got everything, hauling it all down there or wherever you go? I mean, I've traveled around the world, and I'll tell you what, it takes a lot out of you. People will be like, oh, it's so nice you did that. I was like, no, it isn't, because you don't know what it's like. You got to pack your bags. You got to get on the airport. You got to sit in there. You got to, and it's just strange. And then you get on the plane, and then by the time you get to the place where you're going, you got jet lag, and you're exhausted. And after the first day, by the time you got your bearings together, you finally can say, oh, it's a full day. Now we can finally get to doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then before you know it, your vacation's over and back to the same routine of, and you get back and you're exhausted. It's just too much. You never reach that place of peace. Never reach that place of joy. Never reaching that place of, and I don't even want to go in righteousness area right now, because we tend to blame ourselves. Oh, I could have done this different. I could have done that different. What a. One of the most important things that we need to address is we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to truly be honest with ourselves. What is it that we're looking for? What is it that we want? What is it that we need? I really encourage us to get that punch list. Figure it out, because each of us have a mountain to climb. I was sharing with somebody earlier today, and we're all on this journey. And at a young age, we achieve it sometimes through maybe sports, and we enter a realm of glory, and we achieve that place of glory. We maxed our levels. But then you say to yourself, now I got to go to the next level and achieve to the next height. And we can't do it. And then how do you feel about yourself? All of a sudden you get complacent and be like, ah, heck with it. I can't do it. I'm not gonna pursue it anymore. I'm done. Well, I believe that this is what happened with most of us in our lives. We have achieved a lot in our early ages of life. And we reached pinnacles of having everything and reached the levels of glory in the carnal realm. But then we gave up. We gave up because we can't achieve more. And this is an area in our lives where it can be dangerous. This is what I want to talk about, because it's called backsliding. We actually backslide, and we stop taking care of ourselves, or we stop trying to achieve, and we get complacent, and then we never pursue happiness. We get complacent, we never pursue joy. We say to ourselves, this is just the way it is. This is life. I just gotta suck it up, because, you know, and then we just sit there, either we decay or we just wait until we die. How many have ever reached that point in their heart? We might not feel that way outwardly, always trying to fight this battle and keep on a happy face. But inside, we're dying. We're never really reaching that place of happiness anymore. We came to a place of complacency. We feel as though that we reached our time, yet our time isn't even up yet. We might still have 20 more years or 30 more years or 40 more years. We don't know how many years we have, but we reach that point of being dead. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to put our hope in Him and know that there is something more and something fulfilling outside of where we've been living. And why we've been living this way is because we've been carnally minded. The carnal mind pursues a level of glory and then stops. You can only achieve so much. But how do you get beyond the level of glory that the carnal nature stops? Has anyone ever achieved high levels of glory in their life before? I know Pastor Sam, he reached some pretty high levels of glory in his life. Thank God, God came in his life and saved him, because it lifted him back up, and he had a future now. He's got something to look forward to. He's got hope. His joy is in something other than the natural. I know Pastor Tim. It seems like all the pastors here had that high level of glory at one time in their life. And thank God we were saved, because it took us out of that peak where you reach and gave us hope and lifted us up. Now, sometimes we pursue things thinking that it's going to be different on the other side in the natural. Let's say you're a contender and you ended up being like the greatest, I don't know, contender, Olympic gold medalist. And you reach that level, but you know, your body is only so much. You can't keep going. What's it do to a man or a woman's heart when you can't do it anymore? Makes them come down. Makes them fall. You can't fall in God in the Spirit. You can only go up. But without God and in the natural, you're going to reach a point where you can't go any higher. And this is why we preach the gospel, to get you out of the natural and into the eternal. Get you out of the natural and bring you in the Spirit, to lift you up higher than you could lift yourself up, because you can't go any higher. There's a point where there is a line drawn in the sand and you cannot lift yourself higher. I don't care what you do. You're not going to get any better looking. You're getting older. You know, your hair's changing, you know. Maybe even falling out with some of us, you know. It's coming to a point where we put on weight, we can't get it off, you know. And then we become this person or that person, certain diets or whatever it is, trying to achieve these goals and these levels when we're missing the true life to live, which is eternal. The world is going to fade away. But we should be filled and satisfied inside. And this is why this gospel is so important to apply into your life. Because we're going to all reach a level that we maxed our glory on earth. The Bible talks about it. The flowers in the fields are going to dry up and wither away. There's no way of trying to help it. You can try to make yourself, you know, look better or what have you. And there's a point where we have to begin to accept the downfall of the natural and begin to embrace the born again experience of the Spirit. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying here? People say to yourself, well, what do I need your gospel for? What do I need God for? What do I need the kingdom of God for? I have peace. I'm happy right now. You know what? One day you're not going to have peace. One day you're going to have epiphany and say to yourself, you know what? This isn't working anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's not working anymore. How many of us ever felt that way before? It's just not working. And then, you know what? I've known people in relationships that this relationship didn't work, and then they went ahead and then they got in this relationship. And guess what? That one didn't work. And then they went into this relationship. I've known people that have been married for like four times. And it's like, how many more are you going to keep going until you find this happiness that you're looking for? And I use relationships because really that's where it began. You pursued your happiness by looking for that bride or that groom. When in the Spirit, you are the bride and He is the groom, and there is a marriage in heaven that we can obtain and live forever and ever in the eternal realm. If I told you your groom and its name is happiness, would you believe me? Actually, the groom's name is love. And that's what you were looking for in the very beginning when you were looking for your spouse. You were looking for love. When you begin to get on this journey, the path was love. You just didn't know what it was. You just knew that you were pursuing something and you just didn't know. You just didn't understand what you were pursuing. And you were pursuing love. But all natural. It was all natural. Never pursuing the Spirit. Never pursuing the spiritual love that fulfills everything that's inside of you. This is why you need this gospel. This is why we need this gospel. Because this gospel leads you to the path of love. Not finding four or five different marriages pursuing love. And I use that only as an example, as a representation of what we're searching for. We're searching for love. We're searching for it. Now, granted, listen, in that you might have to cut off, you know, a certain situation to pursue this love. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with leaving a significant other to find love. Or find somebody in your life that helps you along with love. Jesus represented Himself as love. When He said, when you see me, you see the Father, what He was saying is, if you see me, you're seeing love. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to blame you. I'm just going to laugh with you. Isn't that what you're looking for? When you find another spouse in your life, aren't you looking for someone to fulfill that joy? To laugh with you? To not be condemned? To accept you for who you are? This is God. And when you don't find it, what happens? You cut it off, you go pursue again, and you look for that love. You're just constantly looking for love. And we tend to look for love in the wrong places. Now, I'm 100% in agreement with looking for love in the natural to help fulfill your spiritual love. Amen? It's good to have people around you that are same like mind, same like spirit, that are bringing in that love to help build that love in the spirit too. Or you lose hope. When you don't have that love in your life, what tends to happen? You get dry, frustrated, upset, lonely. You say to yourself, I don't have any friends. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have that. I feel so alone. So we need the carnal. But don't put all your life in the carnal. Begin to develop this life in the spirit too. This is why we need the gospel. This is why we need this message. This message is for you to understand how to transfer into the afterlife or to the spiritual life or the eternal life. How to take that carnal path that you're on and put it into the spiritual path so that you're without a miss. You don't miss a beat. You ask yourself, where is your relationship? And how well is it connected? If I took it all away, would you still be as happy as you are? You have to ask that. And if you don't have anything, are you happy? Or are you just miserable and upset? Well, if that's the case, and you answered yes to those questions, then you have to look at your salvation. You have to look at yourself and say, am I saved? Because the salvation is in the love of God, where He fulfills all in all, and there is no need of anything else. It's nice to go here and there. But if you don't, is your joy taken away? Answer these questions in your heart. It's nice to have this and that, but if it's taken away, is your life taken with it? This is how we can gauge where we're at, and we're not going with the motions, but our heart is actually in the kingdom of God. Look, it's one thing to walk towards it. It's one thing to pursue it. But it's another thing to enter in. How many of us here want to enter in? I want you to enter in. I want you to enter in with all your heart, soul, and mind. I want you to enter in so that you have that eternal life. I shared, you know, getting rid of the ag factors, you know, pursuing the joy and the peace. But there's only so much carnal because the carnal is going to fade away. Let's say you put all your love in an individual, and that individual failed you. Now you're desperate. Now you're without hope. What if you put all your investment and your investment went bad? Now you have no hope. You have no life. It's over with. I know I reached some points in my life where I thank God He was there. I don't know what would have happened in my own life as things changed if I didn't have God, if I didn't have this gospel. And this is why we preach the gospel for ourselves and also for others, so that they can come out of this muck and mire and come into a place of peace and joy. In the carnal, you're going to have a lot of troubles. In the spirit, you won't have any. The last thing I ever want to see anybody do is backslide. And how we backslide is we have no foundation of the love of God in us. Because the things that you have are going to end. And then your life is going to be hard and miserable and hopeless. And some can't pick themselves back up. And then it gets really bad for them. I've seen many people fall from the wayside and have no hope. And as you get older, do you want to be that one to just sit in the chair and wait for your day is up? Do you want to be in that chair just waiting to die? Or do you want to fulfill a life and pursue a life? And you might not be able to pursue the material things, but you can pursue the spiritual things. And this is where this ministry guides you and leads you into that path, to where you don't have a life that ends. This life continues on. How many people have grabbed what I said today? Amen. I want us to just bow our heads for a moment. Now, some of us might not grab the fullness of what was said. I'm going to share a little epiphany with myself. And I said it to an individual. And I said, I understand what my issue is now. I have an issue. And I've been fighting this issue for a while. And my issue is that I have turned into the bride. My love is in Him. And I just need to surrender that. It's almost like you lose cares of things. And I lost cares. And I don't care about this anymore. And I don't care about that. And that might translate into you're losing hope. But I'm not losing hope. Not one bit. I just realized I became a bride. And my love is in Him now. And all my cares are in Him. I want to pray together. And my prayer is, Father, let them become one as we are one. That the cares of the world in itself fade away, and the love of You become one. And it doesn't matter. And the only thing that matters is to be with You. The only thing that matters, that You fulfill my inner beings, so that I walk with You in the cool of the day, where all those answers are answered. God has a natural life still while you live on this earth. You just don't know what it is. You just don't know what your purpose is. You don't know what you're to do. And the thing is when your love is in Him, when you're called and your love is in Him, He begins to give you a purpose. And then your purpose is unfolded. And you start to realize what you need to do. And you're no longer lost. If you have questions in your heart, what am I to do? Where am I to go? I would say this. God's looking at you as a bride. And He wants you to come to the altar and be that bride and make a vow to Him in a special way. And in that, have time with Him in that honeymoon. And then watch Him give you a job, give you some purpose, give you a reason to live, give you that life that you're looking for. And you'll enter into the kingdom of God and be effective on earth as it is in heaven. And it doesn't matter what it is, It could be selling cars. It could be releasing doves. But whatever it is, it's in Him and it's fulfilling. And there's joy and there's peace. And you can bring His message to others in a special way. Taking you out of one career and giving you another life. But it's in Him now. And John has beginning to experience that as others have. Father, I thank You, Lord, for where You're leading us all into that kingdom. And Lord, I ask that You move on our heart to understand this spiritual mystery, because we might not understand it right now, and we may be still gung-ho in our carnal nature, but we're going to reach a point when we are burned out and tired of trying to pursue the glory that we can't pursue anymore. When we can sit in Him and be on His throne of glory. That time will come in your life. In everyone's life, you reach that point. So I ask that this grace comes upon us so that we don't lose hope and sit there and just wait to die. But that our hope is in You and we receive Your glory. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to ask Pastor Sam if he would come up. He's going to close us in this service. But I want to say thank you for being here today. I'm still under the weather. Please come next week if you can. I want to offer some ministry, but I don't want to minister in this condition. Amen.
Amen. Real quick, the scripture says to pursue peace with all men, with everybody. It doesn't say pursue peace with just your friends and your family. Pursue peace with all men, everyone. Even the ones that rub you the wrong way, pursue peace. You know, but the question is, Pastor said in the message, how do you pursue peace and joy? How do you pursue it? How do you go after it? How do you get it? You have to know how you lose it first. How do you lose peace and joy? The lies in our heads, right? The lies. What's going to steal our peace and joy? The lies the soul tries to feed us and say, it's never going to work. It's never going to happen. You're going to go to jail. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything. Your life's over. These are the lies that come into our mind. The only way to battle is to replace those lies with truth. This isn't brain surgery. It's that simple. Replace the lies with truth. How do you replace lies with truth? Listen, we said it a million times. Put a message on. So many times I'm sitting there in my car and I'm pissed off. I'm not thinking right. I'm angry. I'm irritated. I'm miserable. And I put a CD on. I don't want to put a CD on, but I know it's not. But I know deep down my foundation says, put a CD on. It'll help you. I know this. I put a CD on. Halfway through, there's my answer. Here's why I'm thinking wrong. Right there. Every time. Every single time we're depressed. Every single time we're in anxiety or fear or worry. Put a CD on. You're going to hear the answer. And I guarantee it. Every time. He speaks the whole gospel on every CD. Every message. Every message is the same. We don't realize it, but every message is the same. It's the gospel. If you really want to pursue peace and joy, if you really want to get it, go get it. You can have it. It's given to everyone. If you want to pursue it, if you want to go after it, it's given to you. But you have to have it. You have to do a little laboring. Labor to be in my rest. You know what your labor is? Put a CD on and hit play. That's your labor. Can't make it any simpler than that. It's very simple. When you're losing your peace, losing your joy, replace those lies with truth, and then you come out of that, right or wrong. Amen. Let's have a great week, guys. Wednesday night service, 7:30. Amen.